Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Welcome to episode 422 of Geek Town Radio. I'm your host, Dave, and with me this week is... Gray! How are you doing?
Hi, Dave, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well. We're recording this a little bit earlier than usual because you're busy on Monday because it's a bank holiday. So we're recording this on Sunday afternoon, so some of the information may change by the time this goes out on Tuesday, but we'll see. But before we get into the renewals and cancellations and all that sort of stuff, what have you been up to?
Well, I've been trying to watch as much as I can. Obviously, as with everyone who is a Geek Town co-host, we've had our birthday. Yes. So we've all had to acknowledge that. I would have been on last week, but it was my birthday, a couple of days there. But I've been trying to get through loads of little programs that have just been on my to watch list. I managed in the last like 3 or 4 weeks to finish Smart TV, which was Rob Beckett's TV version of Nevermind the Buzzcocks. I think we all agree.
Yes.
It was really good. I think it will possibly be picked up for a second series. I like what they did with that. And it was really quite funny. I also finished Interior Design Masters with Alan Carr. That was its fifth season. Again, it was a good season, and Alan is so funny with it. Something that could be quite serious is along the lines of these pottery throwdowns and things like that. Yeah. He just brings such a sense of humour to it, and he's really funny. And I think he is almost having a bit of tongue-in-cheek about these sort of competition structures, but also doing really well with it. So, he has some great setups at the beginning of each episode, all in costume or with props and things like that. So that's been quite fun to watch. Sad that that is now off screen. Also finished Avoidance, Ramesh Ranganathan's second season. Pretty good. Aisling Bea makes an appearance in this one as well, adds to the cast, which is already pretty good with you've got Mandeep Dillon, Kelly McGrillis, Jessica Knappett, Ramesh Ranganathan, obviously. And also the actor used to be in Harry Potter, who then lost loads of weight and became really fit.
Played Neville, didn't he, in Harry
Neville,
Potter?
Neville, yeah. So he appears in this season as well. Really good, like a great ensemble cast. Like, you can't fault the cast. Quite a good season again. The character likes to avoid conflict or avoid awkward situations. But I think that is less of the focus in the second season. It's more about trying to co-parent when they're not a couple and accepting that, and the will they won't they back and forth and things like that. It's really good, really good. I just think that, like, Ramesh, you know, he has so many vehicles at the moment, and in some of his programs he's married to different comedians. I don't know if that, the one that was with Catherine Ryan that was on Sky, I don't know if that's ever coming back. And there was one where he owned a pub. He has, you know, he was doing so many different sitcoms, and, you know, he's got another one, and it's kind of working for him at the moment. So
Yeah.
Also finished Beyond Paradise, the second season of that, which was the one set in the West Country. It's really good. And I think what's different with this, where if you have been watching Death in Paradise, there's always a murder. But Beyond Paradise isn't that. It's just weird crimes where they're trying to solve, like, thefts or kidnappings or disappearances. And I think that's a nice twist. It's not just like, otherwise it would be like Midsummer Murders, wouldn't it? This sleepy coastal village where someone dies each week. But yeah, it's really good. I'm sure that's already, I think, been confirmed for a Christmas and the next season already.
Yes.
So I can see that coming back. And then I finished the Bonkers Mandy, which obviously is a 15-minute comedy from Diane Morgan's brain.
Right.
Where Mandy just every episode tries a new career, and it is absolutely weird and very, very weird. I just can't describe it. If you like a bit of off the wall stuff and you just want to see weird things, go and watch Mandy. 15 minutes and it's great. And therefore I'm still watching loads. So 911, I appeared on Disney Plus this week, so I started that.
Yeah.
Also Big Door Prize appeared on Apple TV and I watched season one. I wanted to see where they went with season two. Watched an episode of that so far. Same as Loot while I was on Apple TV. I started watching the second season of that. Baby Reindeer, but very slowly. Me and my partner got through episodes 3 and 4 last night. We are probably going to do another episode or so tonight.
How is that? Because I haven't started it yet. I know a little bit about it, but
it's very dark, very weird. Everyone's talking about it, and I can understand why. Jessica Gunning, who plays Martha in it, is flipping phenomenal. So she plays, there's no surprise, she plays the stalker.
Yes.
And her performance is just amazing. We've seen her so far. It's just, yeah, it's really good. Nina Sesanya pops up in there as well. She plays sort of his landlady, the main character, who, you know, is a comedian in real life, and this is based on part of his true story. So I'm seeing where it's going to go in these last three episodes. But I've got a lot of students at school who are telling, you know, even though it's an 18, telling me, sir, it gets weird. It gets really weird. And I'm like, okay, all right, I'll get there. But no, it is an interesting watch. And then obviously, oh, I absolutely love my X-Men 97 at the moment. I know I've sung about it in the last time I was on.
Yes.
But every Wednesday, I can't watch it in the morning because I leave for work too early.
Yeah.
So I get a coffee at work, and on my break, I'm there just like trying to take in as much of the episode before I have to go back and teach again. And then I watch it again when I get home because I'm enjoying it so much. And when this season ends, I think I'm going to watch it all continuously again with less like week gaps in between them.
Yeah.
So good, so good. And then Race Across the World, which I've never watched before. My partner watched a celebrity one last year and was like, I think you'd enjoy this. So we started watching it, and it's fascinating. And it makes us want to go to those countries, the countries cool. They're currently traveling through. They started in Japan, they've done Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand. Yeah, it's really interesting. The people on it, they self-discover as well as trying to get to these checkpoints in time and not spend all of their money. It's been quite fun. We might go watch the other three seasons that are previously aired after this. And then just before I came onto the podcast with you this afternoon, I sat down to have a bit of lunch and start Red Eye on ITVX.
Yes.
Again, everyone's been talking about it, so I thought I'd give it a go. It's got Harlan Coben's favourite, Richard Armitage, in there. And it's okay. I mean, apparently it gets better. Season one, there are some really clonky bits where they're trying to manipulate the scene to be set on a plane for the majority of the episodes, but the first episode has to start that off. So there are some really weird bits where they sort of have to reveal half the plot in a bit of dialogue, and it's like, oh, okay, all right. But no, I'm really enjoying that. I think after this I might go watch a couple more.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. I watched the whole thing, and yeah, I know what you mean. There are some like clunky bits, and I'm sure there are some plot holes in there, but overall I rather like what they did with that, and it turns quite nicely as you go through it. There's quite a lot of interesting sort of twists in it. So I mean, I know people have been making fun of, oh well, it had never happened, so it's a drama, just let it go, for goodness
let
sake.
It go, yeah. And then I've actually booked in a cinema visit this week. Hopefully it'll go ahead. So this Wednesday I'm going to go and see Fall Guy. I haven't been to the cinema in so long. Life obviously just gets swept away, so I wanted to see it from the moment I saw the trailers. Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling in The Fall Guy, which I'm going to go and see on Wednesday.
You will have to let me know how that is, because I was such a fan of the TV show.
I think the setup and the trailer looks phenomenal. I just hope it does it justice. So I'll be going to see that. And then unfortunately in about 10 days time, the horrendous time for my season of marking starts.
Right,
so
yes.
I'm going to be holding back on a lot of TV watching and film watching until the summer, because I will suddenly lose every evening and all my weekends and things like that. So pre-warning, it might go a little bit quiet on the grey front for the next couple of months.
Yes. I know what this is like for you, because as well as being a teacher, you also grade exams, don't you? So
I do. Yeah, I take on extra. So
yeah. So yes, entirely understandable. You're hitting the exam period. So
Yes. What have you been doing, Dave?
Well, catch up on a couple of things that I mentioned last week. I'd already seen the first two episodes of Clarkson's Farm because I had a preview of it. I watched the second two episodes. Surprisingly heartbreaking, those first four episodes. If you're thinking, oh, is that it? No, there are four more. They're dropping the second half of the season on the 10th of May. But the first four have gone up, and a lot of it is about his sort of adventures in pig farming, basically, this time around, because the farm is struggling to make money because of the fact that they've battling the council, because the council are being ridiculous over the fact that he's got a restaurant and a farm shop, and the council are just like being really hard-headed about it. And they've also had a really terrible time with the weather over that period, so a lot of the crops are not growing properly. So he's handed the arable farming, so the fields and stuff, he's handed those over to Caleb. And what he's doing is he's trying to make money out of the non-farmed bit of the farm, which is the woodland and the hedgerows and all that sort of stuff. And as part of that, he's brought pigs onto the farm and actually been quite a competent pig farmer. But there are some really heartbreaking bits in that. It actually makes it quite tough to watch in places. It's so well done. And I know people have mixed opinions on Jeremy Clarkson, which I entirely understand. But the show itself, as a sort of look into what it takes to actually be a farmer, which is what he's actually doing. I mean, yes, there are some silly things and some stunts and stuff thrown in there, but it is still a very good representation of the troubles that people go through to try and put food on everybody's table, you know, by being a farmer. And it's a really, really well done show. So yes, first four episodes are out now. Second four episodes drop on the 10th of May. Dead Boy Detectives, I finished on Netflix. I really enjoyed the first season of that, which probably means that Netflix will cancel it after one season.
I saw you put that on it. I was like, oh no.
I mean, to be fair, it has been up in the sort of top 10, top three. So, I mean, it has been doing okay, and it is attached to the Sandman franchise. So that may save it, because, you know, we've had issues with these sort of YA supernatural things not being renewed on Netflix. I'm hoping this one books that trend and gets through, because I thought they did a great job with the first season of it, but we'll have to wait and see. There's not been any news on a second season yet. Did also want to mention Sugar, which is the Apple show. Do you looked at this on Apple?
I've seen it there and I've heard some good things about it, but I haven't watched any of it.
I talked a little bit about this before, which is stars Colin Farrell. It's a detective drama set in the modern day, but very much based around him as a private investigator, set in LA, but very much has a sort of old school, like the old 1940s, 50s PI drama feel to it, even though it is set in modern day. Mm. That is until you get to episode 6. And episode 6 has the biggest WTF moment since the immortal Buffy line, if you're going out, why don't you take your sister with you? If you know that reference, there is a sharp right turn on the 6th episode.
Oh.
Which is just comes out of nowhere and does have you screaming at the TV going, what? So yeah, still really, really good. And just as a PI drama, really phenomenal. I'm really, really enjoying it. Just I'm incredibly intrigued to see where they go with it next week. But that's Sugar on Apple TV. Definitely worth checking out. In terms of new things, Welcome to Wrexham returned for its third season, which I very much enjoyed. I mean, it's pretty much same of the same, apart from they've gone up a league, so they're now in Division 2. But it's fair to say, don't start off particularly well. They're realising that Division 2 is a lot more punishing than their previous league. But, you know, there are some interesting changes coming in with the team as well, and they have a really horrendous injury in a pre-game match as well, which puts one of their players out, which is a real problem. But I love that show. Even if you're not into football, I find it absolutely fascinating, because I'm not the biggest football fan, but the way it is a documentary not only about the club but also about the surrounding area and about the fans of the club, I think they do a wonderful job with it. And third season is certainly worth checking out. That is up on Disney Plus now. 911, I thought, opened pretty strong as well.
It's a two-parter, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, it's a two-parter. I'm surprised they didn't drop both at the same time. I was expecting them to drop the two-part opener as a two-part, and they didn't. They just dropped the one episode. But that's set on a cruise ship, most of that. So, you know, obviously things go wrong. because that's what happens with 911. But I thought that opened pretty strong for that. Yesterday, because as I say, we're recording this on Sunday, yesterday was Star Wars Day, of course, and they dropped Tales of the Empire, which is the new little short series. They're about 6 15-minute episodes, so I mean, they're probably about 12 minutes once you take all the bits around the outside off it. Really good. The quality of the animation is great. It's following two different characters, Nightsister Morgan Elspeth, who we've seen both in the animated series and live action, and Jedi Barriss Offee, who had sort of flipped between being a Jedi and then being evil and then being a Jedi, you know, so there's a bit of that going on. Not sure whether she's been in live action. She might tangentially have been in live action, but she certainly was in the animated series as well. So very much two sort of Dave Filoni characters for that. And they basically get three episodes each. The Morgan Elspeth one sort of runs up to where we meet her in, I'm trying to remember whether it was the Mandalorian series, I think she pops up in first in live action. So it's sort of running up to you know, her getting to that point where we see her in that series. And Barriss Offee is just sort of vignettes of different parts of her life and how she sort of falls to the dark side and redeems herself and that sort of stuff. So brilliant animation. There are sections of the animation in that where you think, if this wasn't stylized, you'd struggle to tell the difference between this and some of the shots from the live action. I mean, it's really, really beautifully done animation. So, they're always great, those Dave Filoni animated series. And I mean, I binged through that in like a couple of hours. It's really easy to get through. That's now up on Disney Plus if you want to check that out. And the other one is Shard Lake, which is also on Disney Plus, which is a detective series, essentially. It's sort of a whodunit series. It's set in Tudor times in 16th century England. So Henry is on the throne. It's sort of after the death of Anne Boleyn and Jane Seymour. I think he's now married. So it's around that sort of period. Cromwell is trying to close down the monasteries, and he has sent Shard Lake, who is a lawyer and essentially a sort of private investigator, he sent him to look at a murder at this monastery and use that as a pretext for being able to close the monastery down as well. That's sort of the basic idea behind it. It's based on a series of mystery novels from C.J. Sanson, who tragically, like literally days before this came out, passed away. But it stars Arthur Hughes as Shard Lake. It's got Sean Bean in it as Cromwell, although that's a very, very small role in this. Babu Cisse is in there as well. Paul Kay pops up. Anthony Boyle is in there, who plays sort of the sidekick to Shard Lake. It's a really interesting one tonally, because it feels like it wouldn't be out of place on that sort of BBC Sunday night 6-episode crime drama slot. You know, it just happens to be set in Tudor times, but very much feels like a sort of BBC ITV crime drama that just has this Tudor setting to it.
Is it definitely a Disney product, or have they brought it in from somewhere?
It is actually made for Disney.
Okay.
It's an odd one for them to pick up. I don't know why they particularly went for this, because it doesn't necessarily entirely fit what you'd usually expect for that. But, you know, they've done a decent job with it. I mean, it's a solid setup. And like I say, it just does feel like it would have fitted perfectly well on like BBC or ITV. So it's a bit odd to have it on Disney Plus. But, you know, it's a really good drama. If you like those sort of BBC, ITV crime dramas, I would definitely say go and check it out, because I think it'd be very much up your street. That's all the things I've been doing this week. Let's move on to some TV and film news.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
So we kick off the TV and film news with renewals, cancellations and pickups. We've had a lot of US stuff recently, and we are probably going to get an awful lot more this week because the upfronts are all next week. So we're expecting Friday this week to be the final day of sort of bloodbath. And there are still a number of shows which are still outstanding, but there hasn't been much from the US really this week so far. So we'll see what drops. But in terms of stuff from the UK, Channel 4's Hunted series, did you watch that, didn't you?
Yeah, we just finished it this week, actually. And I was trying to say to my partner, I was like, I think this was filmed quite a while ago.
I'd
read somewhere they'd been banking episodes but weren't making any new stuff.
Yeah, 2022, I think they actually filmed the season that's just gone out. They've delayed recommissioning as well, so there's not going to be one film this year. They have still got a celeb series, which is still to air. So there is still one series to go, which will probably go out later on this year. It just means that we don't know whether it's going to come back or not. What they've said is the recommissioning has been delayed as opposed to it being cancelled. So it may come back at some point in the future. So there is one more series in the bag of a celebrity version, but that'll be it for the moment. Count Abdullah, which was a sort of comedy about a Muslim vampire, I think it was. Mm-hmm. That's cancelled after one season. It was on ITVX, I think, that show. And there was one called Ruby Speaking, which stars Jade Adams, who was set in a call centre. That was another comedy that's been axed after one season by ITV. So they've had the comedy axe out this week. Gavin and Stacey as well, they've announced that the final ever episode of Gavin and Stacey will air in Christmas 2024. I don't think it's filmed yet, but they have written the script for it. So that will be back for one very, very final episode, they have said, and that will be coming in 2024.
Such bizarre PR for the whole thing, isn't it? Like, it was our final episode, then Ruth Jones went, well, no, I don't know why people are saying that, we haven't agreed. Oh, no final episode. And then it's just gone back and forth. And then they did this. It was just a bit of a weird PR because it was just bouncing back and forth.
Okay.
They've got it.
Yeah. Oh, well, okay. So, yes, I mean, it was all sort of put out as being the final episode. So, but it could be a bit like one of those things like Only Fools and Horses where they go, this is the final one, and then they bring it back and then they bring it back and then they, so we'll see. But yes, as far as we're aware, it's the final episode coming Christmas. There is one bit of news, although it's not fully confirmed, but The Conners, the Roseanne spin-off on ABC in the US, so that's one bit of US news. It looks like it is going to be heading for a seventh and final season. We knew that they basically said either the sixth season, which is currently running, will be the final season and they'd filmed an extra tag that could go on the end to wrap it, or it depended on what the cast contracts they could negotiate. What they appear to be leaning towards is a shortened, and I mean really shortened, like six episodes, shortened seventh season, which is what they'll probably do as a final run for it. So it looks like The Conners will be back for a seventh season. In terms of the renewals though, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, that's been renewed for a 35th season on ITV. Can't believe that's been going 35 seasons. That's insane. There was another US network renewal, which was from NBC, which was Night Court, which has been renewed for a third season. That was a remake of an old comedy show, which it's been going down very, very well. It's one of the most watched things on NBC. I don't know why that's not been picked up over here, because it seems to be going down incredibly well, but Night Court has been renewed for a third season. And Cross, which is this series coming to Prime Video, which is based on the James Patterson Alex Cross novels, stars Aldous Hodge in the lead role as Alex Cross, who is a detective and forensic pathologist. Been renewed for season two before season one not only hasn't aired, it doesn't even have a premiere date. So, you know, it's one of those things where I think they did this with things like Jack Ryan as well, where they looked at it and went, we like this, let's order more of it. So there will be at least two seasons of the Alex Cross series. Of course, then Jack Ryan is now gone, so I think they're looking for more of these sort of things in that kind of Jack Ryan Reacher-y sort of mold to fill those holes. That's definitely coming. We just don't know. Season one, I think, is due to land at some point this year, but we don't know when yet. Speaking of those US networks, just where we stand going into Bloodbath, Bath Week. CBS are all done. So everything on their network is either renewed or cancelled. And they've announced their pickups as well. And they've actually put a schedule out for when things are coming back and stuff. So CBS is sorted. ABC has one show left, which is not dead yet, which unfortunately is looking likely for cancellation. That was the one about a woman that writes obituary that can see dead people. I don't know whether you call it that. It was on Disney
Plus. Yeah, I've seen season one. Season two's not come to us yet, has it?
No, I don't know whether that's going to come back yet or not. Fox has two, which is The Cleaning Lady and Alert, Missing Persons Unit. We've got The Cleaning Lady, we don't have Alert. I think both of those are likely to be renewed. That's the way that Fox are probably leaning on those two. NBC still has two more comedies left, which is Lopez versus Lopez and Extended Family. Neither of those aired over here. Both very much in 50-50 territory, so we'll have to wait and see with those. CW has All-American, All-American Homecoming and Walker still to decide. Hard to say what's going to happen with those because there are massive issues outside of ratings with those in terms of the money that the various networks get, because one's made by WB and some of them are made by CBS. So there's a lot of deals going on behind the scenes with that, and whether they can actually come to some agreement that will make them profitable enough for them to be able to make more of it, we don't know. The general consensus is that All-American Homecoming will probably go. All-American will bring the current storyline to an end, but may return with a new cast. And Walker is sort of 50-50. It should be a shoe-in for renewal, but like I say, there are financial issues behind the scenes. CBS, I think, make that, and it's whether it can be made profitable enough for them to be able to bring it back to CW. So I don't know. With that one, it's incredibly hard to predict what's going to happen there. There was one other bit of news that is sort of outside renewals and cancellations, which I wanted to mention. Have you been seeing stories about the potential sale of Paramount?
No, reading your notes was the first time I've sort of come across it. I wasn't aware there were speculations around this at all.
Well, just in case people have been seeing news out there, I thought I'd sort of try and give a bit of clarity as to what is actually the situation is. Paramount Global, who own obviously Paramount Plus and also CBS and a number of other bits and pieces, they have been struggling a little bit recently to try and make money, which is weird given that CBS for the 14th year in a row has been the most watched broadcast network. It's just there's not as much money on broadcast TV as there was. There also isn't money in streaming, and they just seem to be struggling. I don't know whether it's the structure, I don't know what it is, but that has basically put them in a position that there are people sniffing around with offers to buy them. There are two offers currently on the table at the moment. Offer one is from Skydance Media, and they're the makers of the Calvin Timeline Star Trek films, some of the Mission Impossible movies. They make the Jack Ryan series. They make Foundation, Reacher, Grace and Frankie, a whole bunch of other things as well. So they've obviously worked with Paramount before because Paramount own Star Trek and some of the rights to the Mission Impossible stuff. So they have a connection with Paramount already. Their deal would push a bunch of cash into it. And essentially what they would be doing is they would buy out Shari Redstone, who is the non-executive chairwoman of Paramount Global, who has the controlling shares of the company. So what they would do is basically buy all her shares, and that would give them control of the company. It would keep it as a public company. The problem with it is the offer itself is pretty much hated by the other shareholders because the bulk of the money ends up going into Shari Redstone's pocket and not to them. So all the lower level shareholders don't really get much out of that deal. On the surface, I think that is possibly a better deal than the other one, but that's the issue, is the shareholders don't like it. The second offer comes from Sony Pictures Entertainment and a private equity company called Apollo, who were this giant private equity firm. This is a much better deal for the other shareholders because they would basically buy all the shares and take the company from being a public company into being a private company. But the regulators would have to get involved in that case because Sony is obviously a massive Hollywood studio and Paramount are a massive Hollywood studio. So it would need regulatory approval to be able to push those two giants together, basically. It's also got an issue in that the company would probably have to be split up in some way because Sony are a Japanese company and any company outside of the US are not allowed to own US broadcast assets, i.e. CBS. So Sony would not be allowed to own CBS, which means that that division would have to be spun off and and handled by somebody else. So it could be a case of, say, Sony get all the film stuff and all the TV stuff is handled by Apollo. And whilst this is more popular with the shareholders, Hollywood, in quotes, does not like this at all, because it essentially removes the studio for them to be able to pitch to. So it makes one less place that they can shop products to and tightens the market. It's also going to cause quite a lot more upheaval, I think, internally at Paramount. There will be restructuring under the Skydance deal, but there's probably going to be a lot more restructuring if Sony wins out, because the company is going to have to be split in two. So those are the two deals with them mulling over at the moment. It's quite possible they opt to take neither of them and wait for something else to come along. I think they've had four or five deals since the start of the year that, you know, there've been various people that have talked to them, including Sony and Skydance previously. I think WB were talking to them at one point. There were a couple of other people as well. So they are pretty much looking for sale, which is why a lot of the cuts at CBS were a bit harsh this year. They're trying to keep things fairly streamlined. That's the position they're in at the moment. As I say, they could opt for one of these. They could opt for neither of them. We honestly don't know at the moment. They're all in discussion still.
It's a sad, obviously, potentially losing another big studio, but you'd like to keep it because it's such a legacy brand. You'd like to keep it memorable for people and not completely lose it like we lost 20th Century Fox, even though they've managed to keep some divisions. I just was, you know, unaware of this being an issue, and it's going to change how I teach next year, Christine, when I teach all about the film industry. So it's something to take in.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing, of course, is Sony has a big lot in Hollywood and Paramount has a big lot in Hollywood. I mean, Paramount Not is stunning, and I can't see them shuttering it because it's such a huge legacy lot, and it is a better lot than the Sony lot, but it's a case of whether they still need both at this point. I don't know. There's also that to consider as well. My feeling is the Skydance deal will probably be a better deal out of these two. But like I say, they may opt to not go for either of them and do something else instead. But that was just in case you happen to have seen anything stuff floating around about Paramount. I mean, I know the shareholders are nervous. I mean, Warren Buffett had his company, his name is sketchy, but his company had quite a lot of shares in Paramount and actually ditched them all at a loss, which might not have been the most sensible thing to do, but, you know, as he takes full responsibility for that. So there is movement going on. They've also had a restructuring at the top of Paramount and got rid of the CEO and created a position of CEO, which has three people in it. Sort of, there's a sort of joint leadership thing going on. So there's all sorts of stuff going on internally in Paramount as well. If a sale goes through, we'll obviously talk about that when it comes up, but that's the deals that are on the table at the moment. So in pickups and advanced air dates, CBS did make one announcement of a pickup, which we thought was probably going to happen, but they have actually confirmed it. There is a spin-off coming from Fire Country called Sheriff County, which stars Marina Baccarin as a straight-shooting sheriff called Mickey Fox, who is the stepsister of Cal Fire's Division Chief Sharon Leone, who investigates criminal activity as she patrols the streets of the small town of Edgewater while contending with her ex-con father and a mysterious incident involving her wayward daughter. The character of Mickey Fox first shows up in season 2, episode 6 of Fire Country. So we're a little while off actually seeing her over here because we're still in season 1. But the episode's called Alert the Sheriff, aired in April on CBS and sort of acted as a backdoor pilot for the spin-off. I think the storyline was a fire camp inmate ended up escaping from Three Rock, and that's when they call in the sheriff to kind of help for the search for the escaped inmate, basically. But they like what they saw with that, so they've ordered a series out of it. It's not going to be until the 2025-26 season, so that probably puts it in fall 2025 at the earliest, I would think. But it is incoming. They have ordered it. I mean, Monica Baccarin, she was great in Gotham, she was great in Firefly, she's great in Deadpool. I think she's a wonderful actress. I mean, this is a solid spin-off, and I mean, Fire Country's been doing stupid numbers for CBS, so I mean, it makes perfect sense that they're going to try and spin this off a bit more. Have you caught any of that yet?
Yeah, I'm up to date. I watched the most recent episode yesterday, actually. We're waiting for the next episode for next week. So, yeah, I'm totally up to date with that. Do you think they'll run it back to back over here? Or do you think we'll get season two literally straight at the end of season one?
I suspect they probably will. It looks like they're doing that with The Cleaning Lady, which was the other thing that they kind of brought in that we were seasons behind on. So I suspect they may run it straight in. There might be a bit more of a gap with Fire Country because they're still running the second season, I think, in the US. So there may be a slightly larger gap, but with Cleaning Lady, they're just running it straight back to back because we're three seasons behind on that one. So I don't know. I hope they probably run it straight in. I mean, it seems like they're probably going to do that, but we'll have to wait and see. There's no official announcement yet. Over on Netflix, Cobra Kai season six, the sixth and final season, they made an announcement that it's going to be supersized for starters. It's going to be 15 episodes. It's going to be split into three parts. So part one will be Thursday, the 18th of July, followed by part two, which is going to be 28th of November. And then there will be a final event, which premieres in 2025. So they're dragging it out. I mean, for as long as they possibly can. I know it's a big popular show, so I get it. I mean, I understand why they're probably doing that. We don't know exactly what the episode split's going to be, but the final event thing makes it sound like that's probably either going to be one feature length or might be in the last couple of episodes or something. So it's likely to be sort of weighted more in part one and part two and then a shorter little final event thing. But I've been really enjoying that show. I'm way behind. I'm on like season three, I think, at the moment. But it's a wonderful, wonderful series and a good continuation of the Karate Kid stuff. So worth checking out if you've not looked at it yet. Over on ITVX, they've announced a Summer Nights of Comedy series, which is got a bunch of shows, some returning, some new. So returning show is Changing Ends, which is back for a second season. That's the Alan Carr series. You watched this, didn't you?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
That will be back for a second season. More of Alan Carr's sort of semi-autobiographical childhood. That will be coming back. There's then one called Piglets, which is a brand new comedy set in a fictional police training college from Monica Pictures and the award-winning team behind Smack the Pony and Green Wing. So a solid team behind it. But the government stated policy of recruiting 20,000 new police officers in double quick time has not come at the cost of lowering standards, or has it? Piglets follows a newly recruited group of six very different would-be cops and a handful of key staff whose thankless task it is to knock them into some kind of shape, which, I mean, forgive my age, but that's basically the plot of the Police Academy films. If you remember those from, it is. It's the plot of the Police Academy films. That's exactly what it was. They needed to rush to recruit people and recruited a bunch of misfits, essentially. I mean, the plot isn't exactly original, but the team behind Smack the Pony and Green Wing is a solid team. There are a whole bunch of cast members in it. The two leading it are Sarah Parrish and Mark Heap, who are the No Nonsense Superintendent Julie Spry and Some Nonsense Superintendent Bob Weekies, whose job it is to oversee the training of the next batch of new recruits. I think that sounds like it could be quite fun. I think it's going to be one to look at.
Yeah, I think that would be quite good. I like Sarah Parrish as well, and I can already see her playing off against the idiocy of Mark Heap. I think it'd be that way around. If it was the other way around, it's going to be bizarre, but yeah, I can see that playing out. I think doing it the British police might be quite fun. I know it's obviously the narrative of Police Academy, but for a fresh young audience with the style of Green Wing as well, could be quite funny.
Yeah, I think that could be quite a solid series, but that's coming over the summer to ITVX as well. And one of the acquisitions that they picked up was Slip, which we've talked about a while ago because it was originally announced as a Roku series and then never turned up on Roku in the UK. And we're like, oh, that's interesting. Turns out that it's been picked up by ITVX instead. So it's a 7-episode comedy series from actor, writer and director Zoe Lister-Jones, who you might remember from Life in Pieces. She played the sister that was married to Colin Hanks, I think. It follows May, who is restless in a life and marriage that works. There is love between her and her husband, but little romance. When May slips, she has a one-night stand with Eric, a handsome man she meets at a bar. She wakes up the next morning in a panic, only to realize that she has entered a parallel universe in which she and Eric are married. This is the start of a surreal journey as she slips into other realities and relationships, trying to find her way back to her husband and ultimately herself. So it's got a bit of a sci-fi element, like Sliding Doors element to it, but with a bit more of a kind of comedy edge to it. I rather like the sound of this, and Zoe Lister-Jones is fabulous, so I think this sounds kind of interesting.
Yeah, I like the look of it as well. I'm looking online. It's got Emily Hampshire in it from Schitt's Creek.
Yes.
So she's in it as well. So yeah, that could be quite something. I really, really like her in Life in Pieces. I binged Life in Pieces just before lockdown. I just watched most of it. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that was a great, great show. I was quite sad when they ended that, but that was really fun. It was on Prime. I know it's still on Prime Video. It was on Prime Video in the UK if you want to go and check Life in Pieces out, but that's a great comedy. The other thing they've announced is 4 60-minute specials coming live from the Edinburgh Fringe. So these are going out live on ITVX. I think they said they'll be going out live and then they will also be on there for like a month afterwards as well for you to be able to go and catch up. Calling it the Real Edinburgh Experience at a venue at the heart of the Fringe, with a new lineup each night featuring some of the most exciting comics and stars of 2024. So it's basically going to be 4 60-minute stand-up specials by the sounds of it, or various acts from the Fringe specials, which I think is great. I think that's a really nice promotional thing for the Fringe. It'd be interesting that it's actually live as well. Things could slip up, which is always intriguing, so we'll have to wait and see with that. But that will be coming over the summer as well. Obviously, the Fringe one will be around the time that the Fringe is on. Don't know about the others. They haven't actually said when those are going out. I think Changing Ends is going out at the same time on ITV1 as it goes out on ITVX. So it'll be going out weekly on ITV1, and then the whole series will be on ITVX. I think Piglets is also going out the same way. There's not going to be a big delay, because there was quite a big delay with Changing Ends between it going out on ITVX and ITV1, but they've altered that. So keep an eye on the website. We'll be updating those. You can follow the shows on the Never Miss system, and you'll be notified when they are coming for their premiere dates, but they will be over the summer. One thing we do have a date for is Rebus, which is coming to BBC One and BBC iPlayer and BBC Scotland as well. BBC Scotland actually get it slightly earlier. It is going to premiere on Friday the 17th of May with all episodes on BBC iPlayer from 6 a.m. Episode 1 will also air that evening on BBC Scotland on the Friday the 17th. And it's going to be going Saturday the 18th on BBC One as well. If you don't know Rebus, it's based on the best-selling Inspector Rebus novels by Ian Rankin, starring Outlander's Richard Rankin, who is no relation. They just happen to have the same name. It's written for screen by Gregory Burke, who worked on 71 and 64. It reimagines the iconic John Rebus character as a young detective sergeant who draws on a violent criminal conflict that turns personal when his brother Michael, a film soldier, crosses the line. Don't know whether it's going to be exactly based on a particular story, and there's been much discussion online about the use of the word reimagines and how that makes people twitch slightly these days when they see it. There's something about that word that makes me go, ooh, I'm not sure whether reimagines is ever a good thing. But obviously, they've gone for a slightly younger version of Rebus for this, but Richard Rankin is a great actor. He's wonderful at Outlander, and I believe Ian Rankin is involved, certainly as exec producer level, in this as well. So we'll see how it goes. BBC drama with a decent cast. So yes, Friday the 17th of May on iPlayer for that, and then 18th of May on BBC One as well. Do you know the Rebus things? Because there was an old TV show.
Yeah, I remember the old TV. I think we've talked about this, but I'm really surprised how quick this has come around. I'm certain I was on an episode not long ago. We were talking about this being like announced, and then suddenly, yes, I thought that was announced, it was going into production, but suddenly it's like, oh, we're already online.
Yeah, it does seem to be quite quick. Yeah, I think we'll probably check that out. I think it looks like it could be an interesting crime thriller. Speaking of crime thrillers, the long-awaited announcement of who is going to be taking over the lead detective role of Death in Paradise has been announced. Don Gillette is going to be the person that will take the role. He has been in Sherwood, EastEnders, The Beekeeper, and Shetland, and a number of other things. As somebody mentioned, that he has actually been in Death in Paradise.
He has, yes, season 4.
guess, as well as somebody else.
Yeah, Chris Marshall was the detective then, who's currently in Beyond Paradise. So
yes, one of those situations where they hope people forget that he was previously there because he's playing a different character. But he will be taking over the lead role as detective. I've never really watched Death in Paradise at all, so I don't know. Yeah, and I don't really know Sherwood or Shetland or EastEnders or the Beekeeper, so I don't know whether you have any knowledge of him.
Yeah, I've watched him in EastEnders. He was quite a villain in EastEnders, so this will be a turn of fortune. But he does pop up in so many other things. He's quite a well-known actor, so I think he'll do quite well. It's going to be sort of a different take. I generally thought they might cast their first female detective, but not quite yet.
No, there is another one which is set in Australia, which is a co-production called
Escape from Paradise.
Yeah. That one, there's that one that is coming, which does have a female lead detective in that one, so there is that one in production as well. They've really gone to town on this whole Paradise World universe thing. There is that one coming at some point as well, but yeah, at least we've got the new lead for Death in Paradise, so that's good. In other bits of news, Sky has ordered a new thriller, and just the people involved have been quite excited about this. It's called Iris. It stars Nima Algar and Tom Hollander, who are both great actors, but it comes from Neil Cross, who was the man behind Luther, and it's directed by Terry McDonough, who worked on Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. So you've got a fabulous writer, two great actors, and a really good director in there. It's a sun-drenched chase thriller about a ruthless and enigmatic genius, Iris Nixon, played by Algar, who was in Mary and George and the Virtues, who steals a code from a charming philanthropist called Cameron McIntyre, played by Tom Hollander, who of course has been in a million different things, but White Lotus, A Feud, Capote and the Swans, and a bunch of other things. Night Manager as well, I think he was in. So she goes on the run, armed only with her lethal intelligence and chameleonic charm. The clock is ticking for her to work out what the code could unleash before she is found. If that wasn't enough for you, cast also has Sasha Dewan in it as well, from of course Doctor Who and The Great and a million other things. Maya Sansa from Good Morning Night and Dormant Beauty, Peter Sullivan from Poldark and the Borgias, Debbie Mazar from Younger and Entourage, and there's a newcomer in there called Maritana Tomlinson as well, who's in The Trials. Yeah, I mean, solid cast, great writer, great director. Coming to Sky, it's called Iris. Yeah, that sounds like an interesting one to look out for.
Neve Algar's really strong at the moment in terms of the casting she's got and the shows that she's got.
Yeah, definitely one to watch out for, I think. That don't know when that's going to land. It'll probably be 2025. Lastly, Netflix have announced that they are developing a live-action Scooby-Doo series from Greg Berlanti. It's been written and produced by Josh Applebaum, who worked on the Wonderfully Bonkers Zoo, Citadel and Alias, and Scott Rosenberg, who worked on the newer Jumanji films, also on Zoo and Gotti 60 Seconds and a bunch of other things as well. Based on the Hanna-Barbera characters, of course. It's got the Berlanti Productions team behind it, alongside a company called Midnight Radio. Many people involved in this have a history of working with Netflix. Rosenberg, Applebaum, Midnight Radio were the producers of the, shall we say, less than well-received Cowboy Bebop live-action series. They weren't writers on that. They were just producers on it, I think. Berlanti Production, of course, as well as the Arrowverse, are responsible for the Netflix drama You, Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, and Dead Boy Detectives, which, as I said, been doing okay. It went to the top 10 on Netflix, so, you know, that's good. Do we need a live-action Scooby-Doo series? Is this a good idea? I don't know.
I'm not sure. There's been a lot of, like, cult re-following. I there's a couple of people online that really like talk about it a lot. Obviously the cartoons have changed their style so much and they're not as traditional as like the 90s version I think we all remember. So are people trying to tap into that sort of nostalgia that we're all loving from that era and thinking actually this could work now? It's got enough cult following. People sort of use the classic movie with Sarah Michelle Gellar across the internet in like jokes and memes all the time. So.
Yeah, I'm wondering how they're going to approach it because, of course, Riverdale and Sabrina were adaptations of comic books, which, I mean, they were actually straight adaptations of a version of the comic books, but those adaptations were a sort of much darker version of a much lighter comic book. I do wonder whether you're going to have something like that. Are you going to get impossibly good-looking teens in there to play the roles? And are they going to keep it fun, or are they going to go down a sort of weird, darker route with it? I don't know. Depends how they handle this. Because I do wonder whether there is going to be that twist to it, the sort of Riverdale darker twist. Although, I mean, Riverdale went completely off the rails and just did its own thing and was completely bonkers in terms of where it went with the later seasons. It's going to be an interesting one that it is only in development at the moment. They haven't officially ordered it to series. So it is there, and it is from Greg Berlanti and the Berlanti team. So that's one to look out for. We'll bring you more news if that does get picked up. That's all the news we've got for this week. Just some highlights for next week on TV. So, next week on TV, quite a lot of stuff actually coming, and some big shows as well. First one is Dark Matter, coming to Apple TV Plus on the 8th of May. It has nothing to do with the other show, which was called Dark Matter, which was a sci-fi series, a Canadian sci-fi series, which I loved, but unfortunately died after 3-4 seasons, something like that. This is a sci-fi thriller series. It's based on the blockbuster book by acclaimed best-selling author Blake Crouch. It's another sort of parallel dimension kind of thing, but does look quite interesting. There are a trailer cricking around for it as well. We're called Dark Matter. That's coming to Apple TV on the 8th of May. Abbott Elementary comes back for the first half of season 3. That is on the 8th of May as well. That's on Disney Plus. Inside Number 9 is back for its 9th and final season. That's on BBC Two on the 8th of May at 10 p.m. And then Doctor Who returns for Shooty's first full season as the Doctor. That's coming the 11th of May at midnight. That lands. It will then go out in its traditional Saturday evening slot, but because it's a global release on the BBC and on Disney, it's going to be on iPlayer from 11th of May at midnight. It then will have its Saturday slot as well. It's opening with a double bill. You'll be able to go and check that out there. Hudson and Rex is back on Alibi for its 6th season. That's landing on the 12th of May at 7 p.m. The Equalizer expects for its 4th season. That's on Sky Witness on the 14th of May. And you've got Tokyo Vice returning for its 2nd season. That's on BBC Two, also on the 14th of May. That will be at 10:40. And The Gathering, which is a new drama coming to Channel 4. That's on the 14th of May at 9 p.m. That centers around a violent attack on a teenager during a rave at a tidal islet. Looks like it could be kind of an interesting one. That's a Channel 4 drama, 14th of May at 9 p.m. and it's called The Gathering. So some interesting stuff. I know you'll be watching Abbott Elementary. Anything else on there?
Yeah, most of those I'm really interested in. Maybe the only one that doesn't really grab me is Tokyo Vice, but like Equalizer I watch, I'd be interested in The Gathering. Doctor Who I watch, Inside Number 9 I watch, Abbott Elementary I watch. I do like The Sound of Dark Matter and Hudson Rex as well, so going to be quite full.
yes, lots of things before your marking turns up.
That's the thing. I know that I make all these promises, but I never get through them because it just, yeah, time is never on my side.
Yes. Doctor Who, obviously, I would definitely be watching. Dark Matter, I do want to check out. I think that's another solid addition to Apple TV. I have some great, great shows on there. I did watch a little bit of Abbott's Elementary. I need to go back and start watching from the start again because it's been a while, but I did quite enjoy that. It's a fun series. I've never seen any of Inside Number 9. I know there is a lot of love for that show, but I've never been a huge fan of that sort of weird humour. I never watched The Equalizer. There's some good stuff in there, I think, this week. So that's all the stuff coming next week on TV. If people want to reach out to you and give you some respite from your marking, where can they find you?
They can find me over on social media, either at Grey the Geek, or you can find me at Grey Panton. But yeah, it will go very quiet from about May the 13th through till early July, I'm predicting. That's my predictions now.
Excellent. So for other people involved in the show, Bex, who's birthday is this week actually as well. She is still on hiatus, so she's not online anywhere. Matt, you can find on entertainmenttalk.org for lots and lots more podcasts. There will be, I'm sure, some more Man U things and other bits and pieces going on over there. And Daryl from HollywoodNorthNews.net, you can go over there to find more information about all those TV series you love which are shot in Canada. For us, you can visit the website at geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see all the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions questions or comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website, post, find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, Blue Sky at Geektown, Instagram at Geektown UK, TikTok Geektown UK, and Threads at Geektown UK. That is everything. We will be back next week. We'll see you then. Goodbye.
Goodbye.